This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Something like 30 million Americans, slightly more actually, have had COVID and survived. That's according to the CDC. For some not small fraction of those people, though, things are not completely back to normal. Estimates vary, but it's possible that as many as 80% of patients still have symptoms 3 months after they first got sick. And that is even after tests no longer detect the virus in them. And those symptoms could be fatigue, could be heart problems, could be worse, right? And that many people getting that sick for that long, and obviously they can't go back to work, means, as Marketplace's Jasmine Garz reports, our disability system is going to have to adapt.
Over a year after getting COVID-19, Diana Berendt continues to be mystified by some of her symptoms. Headaches, deep inner ear pain.
I've had so many MRIs and CAT scans and so on and so forth, and I am no closer to any answers.
Berendt says she's lucky. She has insurance. Around 30 million Americans don't. Berendt founded Survivor Corps, an organization that supports COVID-19 survivors. She says they have about 165,000 members.
And so many of them are people in their 20s and 30s who are fitness instructors, college athletes, and 6 months after a mild case of COVID are in wheelchairs and on feeding tubes. Like, this is not a post-viral malaise.
Congress has allotted $1.15 billion for the National Institutes of Health to study long COVID. How many people have it and why? Several states have also funded initiatives. New York City has its own aftercare program, which Dr. Amanda Johnson oversees. She estimates about 10% of COVID patients are long haulers. And overwhelmingly, they're worried about money.
When they're going to be able to get back to work, people are concerned about advocating for themselves to have some type of graduated set of responsibilities, being able to take breaks, being able to access paid sick leave, whether they should retire.
Especially, she says, since a lot of them are in essential jobs, we're asking for more flexible workloads, not an option. And going on disability is also a long shot. This is something that worries Rebecca Vallis at the Century Foundation.
COVID long haulers appear to represent the largest influx of new entrants to the American disability community that we've seen in modern history.
Vallis herself used to be a disabilities lawyer. She describes applying for disability as a process that might as well require a law degree.
Unfortunately for the influx of COVID long haulers, our federal disability system is designed to deny people.
In 2019, more than 60% of disabilities applicants were denied. And those who get it, Vallis adds, have to wait 5 months before the assistance kicks in. Disability rights lawyer Eve Hill is one of the lead organizers on the Stop the Wait Act, which would shorten the time between people being approved for assistance and receiving it. She's hoping the act gets reintroduced by this Congress.
Well, many people die during the wait. Many people go bankrupt during the wait, and many people become so poor during the wait that they go on SSI, the income-based support system.
Hill says making the disabilities system easier for long haulers to navigate is key to the American economic recovery.
So if we want people to be able to get back to work when they're able to get back to work, we are shooting ourselves in the foot.
Diana Berendt of Survivor Corps points out that some of the major changes in disability rights in America came after World War II. The number of returning soldiers, many disabled, made it clear there needed to be an organized national approach. She sees a parallel with long COVID.
We're talking about people who've been maimed essentially by this virus in a very short time span.
Many advocates say this pandemic has been like a war, one that many people are still fighting. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.